As a trusted friend once put it, this place wants us dead.
That was from the trailer for the TV series The Terror from 2018. Taken from Rotten Tomatoes on YouTube, used under fair use. The series is about the expedition led by Captain Sir John Franklin to find the Northwest Passage through the Canadian archipelago. The TV series was named after The Terror, after Dan Simmons' book from 2007, which was a mashup of fiction and history. His book, in turn, was named after one of the ships in the Arctic Franklin expedition that set out to find the Northwest Passage. I saw The Terror on TV, and it very easily and eerily travels into supernatural territory, like the book. I mean, since nobody knew where the officers and crew went when they vanished into thin air, why not? From The Princess Bride by William Goldman, grandfather speaking to his grandson. Quote, he held up the book then. I'm going to read it to you for relax. Does it have any sports in it? Fencing, fighting, torture, poison, true love, hate, revenge, giants, hunters, bad men, good men, beautifulest ladies, snakes, spiders, pain, death, brave men, cowardly men, strongest men, chases, escapes, lies, truths, passion, miracles. Sounds okay, I said, and I kind of closed my eyes. That was courtesy of Goodreads. Okay, now, this is just us. So does this story have any sports? Man-hauling boats. No escape. Lead poisoning. Scurvy. True love. Suffering. Bravery. Fear. Ice. Polar bears. Ironclad ships. Months of light. Months of darkness. Hoofta. Adventure. Doom. Hope. Boot eating. Bitter cold. Cannibalism. Death. Attempted rescue. Before this episode, I didn't really know the story of the Arctic Franklin expedition. But I did recognize fragments as I was digging into my research, thinking to myself, no, that's Ernest Shackleton. And I checked, wrong poll. Shackleton's story lies in Antarctica, and there were survivors. Unlike with the Franklin expedition. Before I go any farther, there is a painting of a scene of one of the ships from the Franklin expedition. The ship is deserted. Polar bears are there scavenging. It's gross. We'll get into the painting a little later on. It is this painting, Man Proposes, God Disposes, painted by Sir Edwin Landseer, known for his paintings of animals, lions, dogs, stags. This painting of the polar bears doing their thing is said to be cursed. Okay, we're clear, there's an art story in here, and there is a cursed painting, but there is story upon story that it's based on. What are we talking about? How did the crew vanish? Could a mythological supernatural creature have been preying on them? Did they stay on the ship the whole time? No. Or winter on a nearby island? Yes. Regarding the idea of a supernatural creature, on Reddit, subreddit, The Terror, posted by u/OurDark 2 years ago, vibing real-life inspiration for the Toonbok in Inuit mythology. And I apologize for any mispronunciations of the Inuit language. Quote, so it is well known that the Toonbok is a fictionalized version of a Tupilek killing spirit. A, quote, super Tupilek, unquote, so to speak, as explained in the book. However, reading Ice Ghosts, The Epic Hunt for the Lost Franklin Expedition 2017 by Paul Watson, he mentions that the Inuit also blamed Franklin's expedition for unleashing The unusually cold and horrible winter of that half-decade, via malevolent spirits, to the point that two shamans cast spells on the area where the two ships were abandoned, to ward off the bad spirit. This is pretty interesting. I wonder if it inspired the Tunbach in any way, unquote. I'm not well-versed in Inuit mythology, but that example and some other creatures I've read about could fit the bill of said supernatural creature. After watching The Terror, I later heard about the cursed painting, illustrating the last scene. Art Curious podcast, episode number 78, Cursed Art, Landseer's Man Proposes, God Disposes, season 9, episode 2. As it turns out, this was another story tied to the Franklin Expedition, but through a cursed painting. Did you know that the North Pole is all water? I'll make that ice floating on the Arctic Ocean. No land. That's why the ice melting is a big deal. It displaces polar bears and seals in particular. It's Antarctica that has the landmass as the southernmost continent, and penguins, no polar bears. And colder temperatures than the North Pole. Seriously colder. As per NASA.gov, Climate Kids, polar temperatures, time of year being summer, the North Pole is at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Celsius. The South Pole is at negative 18 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 28.2 degrees Celsius. So for the winter, the North Pole is negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 40 degrees Celsius, and the South Pole in the winter is negative 76 degrees Fahrenheit and negative 60 degrees Celsius. You don't need to do a double take to the proof is in the pudding painting episode. We simply ended up in the Arctic Circle again out of sheer luck of the draw. It's been a while since we've talked about a cursed painting. So carpe diem, and here we are, right? The painting that is said to be cursed is of polar bears doing their thing by an abandoned ship. The painting is titled Man Proposes, God Disposes, done 1864 by Sir Edwin Landseer, who lived from 1802 to 1873. But before we unravel the mystery of the abandoned ships and why there would be polar bears in the scene, there are a few more compelling details about the location that we can take into consideration first. How many times can you winter over if your ship is stuck in the ice? What if canning is a new technology and lead is involved? And what if you have superstitions? Farther out from the North Pole, land dares to venture into the Arctic Circle, one of the lines of latitude, including parts of the USA, Russia, Denmark, Greenland, which is part of Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Canada. Clear up in the tippy-top north of Canada lies the Arctic Archipelago, 36,563 islands, that make up the Northwest Territory and Nunavut. The tundra gives way to a polar desert, because the farther you go north, the drier it gets. A polar desert. The preferred term for the native people of the Canadian Arctic is Inuit. Inuit means the people. They may have originated in Siberia. They are not particularly religious, but did have seances, and the shamans could visit the world of the dead. If you're anything like me, dear Whispering Gallery visitors, this polar desert was a bit difficult to wrap my brain around. The desert part, I mean, there's ice and snow, seems like a result of precipitation. Salt is used on the roads where I live to melt the ice. Where is the ice coming from if not the snow? I mean, does seawater even freeze? The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration makes it clear that the ocean does indeed freeze at just under 4 degrees colder than freshwater, and it is because of the salt. Quote, when seawater freezes, however, the ice contains very little salt because only the water part freezes. It can be melted down to use as drinking water. Unquote. Would you care to join me in the Whispering Gallery where night has fallen and the temperatures are dropping? And night lasts 6 months. Grab a flashlight, won't you? You don't want to be left out in the cold, polar darkness. Welcome to the Whispering Gallery. I'm Suzanne Nicolaisen, and I'm very glad you're here with me. We are explorers of art mysteries, unusual legends, and today, the story of an Arctic expedition gone terribly awry. This is quite the terrifying story on its own. It has been turned into an AMC supernatural anthology, you might have seen, and the story of ships trapped in Arctic ice, lead poisoning, abandoned ships, and some indications of cannibalism. Just a hot mess. Well, frozen mess, I mean. And then there's the painting. A knighted artist dealing with melancholia, an expert in painting animals, he sank into representing the tragedy with polar bears scavenging, and it's pretty grim, but oh man, it doesn't end there, because the painting is said to be cursed. The ship selected for this expedition, the HMS Terror and the HMS Erebus. Erebus is part of the Greek pantheon and is the primordial god of darkness. No longer warships, the ships were repurposed for polar exploration. Sir John Franklin on the Erebus and Francis Crozier in the Terror. What a pair, man. The Terror and Erebus? Very BA, but not very cheerful in the polar night. Maybe you just don't rename ships? There probably was a reason for the ship's naming convention. Maybe they were all good with embracing the scary. After all, they were embarking on a voyage of discovery to find the Northwest Passage. Perhaps they had a, oh yeah, bring it kind of attitude. The shortcut they were searching for would save merchant ships a lot of time when going from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. 6 months of nights. That's a lot of darkness. Grab your hot cocoa and find your flashlight. The story behind the painting is one of adventure, is fascinating and horrifying all at once. Let's check it out. Part 1. The Expedition. So there's this guy, John Franklin, age 59, with a lot of experience. The Napoleonic Wars have settled down. The British Navy has some extra ships kicking around, and they could be used for new things, like exploring. And he's just the guy for it. All the right experience. So they got to work on creating the best ice-going ships they could. Iron plating added to protect the hull. Cutting-edge ship redesign and refurb with plenty of supplies, since canning was now a thing, but still its own newish technology on the block. Preparations made for the Terror and the Erebus, the latest in high-tech designed for polar exploration. They were heading north to the Arctic Circle and looking for what they hoped would be the Northwest Passage, because there had to be a quicker way to the Pacific. There's a story of how Captain John Franklin was taking a nap, and his wife, Lady Jane, was working on a flag for his ship, and she had laid it over him, and he woke up and freaked out, saying that that was what they put over the dead. So there's a bit of superstition going on, and perhaps an omen. And how many omens do you run into before you decide that a trip to the Arctic might perhaps be rescheduled or canceled? Timing would have been everything. In spring of 1845, they set sail, and steam engine, from England heading full speed to the Canadian Arctic. Officers, crew members totaling 129, but I've seen 128 and 130 in my research, so I'm not sure which number is accurate. Not to mention they traveled with livestock and hens aboard. They were last seen by two whaling vessels in Baffin Bay. Late that summer in the Arctic Arctic Archipelago, which on the map looks like a footprint of a labyrinth. In 1846, the two ships were stranded in sea ice. northwest of King William Island, the 61st largest island in the world. Not that that's a competition. The officers and crew were never seen again. Okay, the ships were icebound about halfway between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and eventually abandoned. Death came terribly from not the least being lead-contaminated canned rations, starvation, scurvy, and hypothermia. And there was also talk of cannibalism based on the cut marks found on some of the skeletons on King William's Island. The majority of the crew were never accounted for. There was a note that was left, and Britannica.com states, "The Victory Point note, dated April 25, 1848, and written by Crozier and Fitzjames, it was found in May 1859 tucked into a stone cairn on King William Island. According to the note, the Franklin Expedition spent the winter of 1845 through 46 on Beechey Island, and then in the summer of 1846, it traveled down Peel Sound off King William Island. The Erebus and Terror became trapped in the ice, forcing the men to spend the winters of 1846-47 and 1847-48 on the island. Sir John Franklin died on June 11, 1847. The note also stated that Crozier, Fitzjames, and the crew had abandoned the ships and were heading for what is now Back River on the Canadian mainland. The 248-mile, 400-kilometers journey required the 105 survivors to traverse King William Island and cross the sea ice before reaching the river. Later, Inuit people in the area told searchers that 35 to 40 white men had died near the mouth of Back River. However, the location of the other crew members was unknown." Unquote. That was brought to us by Britannica.com/event/Franklin-expedition. About the lead poisoning, Secrets of the Ice.com article, Buried in Ice, the Franklin Expedition Cemetery by Lars Pilo, posted on October 28, 2019, reads, quote, "Owen Beatty, then an assistant professor of anthropology at the University of Alberta, started his work on the Franklin Expedition in 1981. That year and the next, he conducted surveys on the western side of King William Island. Together with his team, he was able to recover bones from Franklin crew members. Telltale marks on the bones confirmed the Inuit stories about cannibalism. Even more interesting was the discovery of enhanced lead levels in the seamen's bones compared to Inuit bones recovered during the same survey. Lead poisoning can be fatal. Enhanced levels of lead leads to a number of serious symptoms such as joint and muscle pain, cognitive difficulties, headaches, and abdominal pain. This is something you really do not want to happen while under extreme Arctic conditions." Part 2. Vanished. Search and Rescue. My father-in-law had a small medallion that he kept in his car. I had never seen it before meeting him, but it was of Saint Christopher. The National Gallery London Saints section shares Saint Christopher is the patron saint of travelers, including motorists, who sometimes hang a small image of him in their vehicle for luck. According to legend, he was crossing a river when a child asked to be carried across. It seems that the HMS Terror and the HMS Erebus could have used St. Christopher's help. From 1847 to 1859, no less than 40 expeditions were launched to rescue the Franklin Expedition. That's 12 years with efforts to search a 7,000-mile area. This was conducted by England and the United States. Well, looking for the Franklin Expedition was the noble thing to do. It might have been tempting to a few because if they happened to find the Northwest Passage while they were up there looking for Franklin, well, all the better. The Akeini of Inuit Folklore Wikipedia says this is a skeleton spirit. Quote, "He is the ghost of Alaska and causes tidal waves and earthquakes by moving his arms." Other articles state that when alive, Akeini was always dancing and playing music. In death, he would use his arm bone as a drumstick and his scapula as a drum. He created music and danced a jig where it would make the ground shake to where boats would overturn. Unquote. Now, from the legends of the Aurora Borealis Frontiers North, it's stated, quote, "The Inuit are the Aurora Axarnik and believe that souls of the dead dance in the aurora. Sometimes the spirits are carrying torches to guide those still in this world. Other times they are playing soccer with a walrus skull. as they skitter and dance across the sky. Axarnirk fittingly means ball player in English. That's from blog.frontiersnorth.com. It turns out the Inuit had interaction with the survivors of the Franklin expedition. They came right into their camp and were invited in, but they refused food. The men of the group had been out hunting, so it was just the women and an old man when the survivors arrived. The men of the camp had been out hunting, so when they got back, they built another igloo for the wandering guests and supplied them with 3 seals. If you have sensitivity to gross things, skip ahead a few seconds. The story continues that the men from the Franklin expedition were carrying human meat. The Inuit left in the night, worried for their safety near these men, and when one returned to their camp for something not packed in the night, they found the men had died in the igloo. This is from the article found at thenationalpost.com. Quote, "They're not human. How 19th century Inuit cope with a real-life invasion of the walking dead. When remote Inuit met the mad, desperate remnants of the Franklin expedition, they couldn't rule out that they hadn't been invaded by demons." By Tristan Hopper, October 27, 2016. Another story of Franklin survivors from listverse.com. 10 ghost stories above the Arctic Circle. Quote, "While the first entry on this list steers a bit from the classic ghost story, the Natsalik Inuit people who lived on King William Island tell stories of invasions from another sort of undead being zombies. Originally named Kwikiktok, King William Island can be found in the province of Nunavut and was first found by British explorers in 1830. However, the indigenous people had lived there far longer. Being this far north, the Natsilik Inuit had never come across other indigenous before, let alone white European explorers. So when people reported witnessing shambling, blue-skinned shells of men, legends of the undead walking once more arose. Indeed, many expeditions above the Arctic Circle were ill-fated, and many explorers, most notably the 1845 British Franklin Expedition, were often grisly to behold as men froze to death. These, quote, death marches, unquote, were real, though some were reported when no expeditions were documented to have taken place in the area. Perhaps these doomed explorers became ghosts after all, unquote. Side note here, the boats had been abandoned, and in 2014 the HMS Erebus was found, and in 2016 the HMS Terror was found. It's Black History Month, and I wanted to read to you about 2 pioneering black men who were involved in the discovery of the Northwest Passage from the South China Morning Post opinion column, The Ark Rower by Mark Agnew, October 12, 21. Remembering the forgotten explorers of the Northwest Passage during Black History Month, the first people to make it from the Pacific to the Atlantic. 2 black men, including an American escaping enslavement, were among the first people to travel from the Pacific to the Atlantic via the Arctic. Among the crew was gunroom cook Charles Anderson, a black man and possibly an American escaping enslavement. He said he was from Port Robinson in Canada. Thousands of escaping enslaved people made it over the border to Canada. There were very few black people in Canada at the time who had not come from America. At the very least, Anderson's assertion that he was from Port Robinson suggests his parents had escaped enslavement. According to Discovering the Northwest Passage, a book by Glenn M. Stein. Also on board was coxswain Cornelius Hulot, another black or possibly mixed-race man who was from Kent, England. In the 1850s, to have black explorers aboard was very unusual. The 2 pioneering sailors were to become part of history, unquote. So I have to ask, what sits at the bottom of the Arctic Ocean and shakes? A nervous wreck. Stay tuned. I still have 2 more parts to cover, one being the artist and one being the cursed painting. In an effort to get this out for you in February, I'm going to pause here and get this published for you. In the meanwhile, remember to keep your flashlights close and your spooky art stories closer while visiting the Whispering Gallery.